Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Well, not so encouraging. Public safety measures have become a bigger part of public meetings and events. Author and personal safety trainer Alan Burris is going to join us today. I met up with him at the Montana League of Cities and Towns annual convention there as well. He was advising public officials there, you know, city councilors, county commissioners, state legislators, about the increasing need for public safety measures at these public events, and also personal safety measures as well. Sad, sad story. Coming out of Stillwater County as well. Gunman shot, killed two at least. It folds into what we're talking about here today. And it won't be easy, but we need to hear these things. So, yes, we're going to talk about public safety and the increasing need for it at public events as well. And then you know, the whole non-lethal aspect of this as well, which is a growing part of personal and public safety. And I do reference this because there are two people that have been shot and others injured. This is an early Sunday morning shooting at a residence in Stillwater County. And again, you know, not a lot of information. There's a suspect, you know, arrested here as well, 23-year-old. And, just a very sad situation where he went, and it was a girlfriend and her parents. Names have not been released yet as well. But as we welcome Alan Burris. Alan, good morning, sir. You know, this is tough, and you live in Missoula, and I thank you for coming on here as well and sharing, this information and talking about a pretty difficult subject in how, you know, our society and community has, I think, taken a nosedive when it comes to this kind of activity and responsibility. So, you know, good morning to you, sir. What's on your plate?
Well, good morning, Tom, and thank you for having me on. And the first thing I want to say is, yes, this is a terrible topic that, you know, I deal with every day, whether it's active shooter or violence. But I don't try to bring gloom and doom to people and scary stuff to people. Yeah. I try to empower people so they know there are things they can do to keep themselves and loved ones safe, so they can go out and enjoy the good things in life, because there really are still a lot of great things out there to enjoy, and we can just do so safely.
And that's what I like about your website, enjoylifesafely.com as well. I mean, that's a great aspect here of this. And it sounds like it's important to lay down that foundation.
It is. We have to take that personal responsibility. In almost all of my live programs, I start out with, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And that's nothing negative against the brave men and women serving our communities. It's just the nature of the job. They don't come until after something bad happens. And even if they get there extremely fast, a lot of things can happen in that time before they're there. So we take the personal responsibility to keep ourselves safe. And the first line is recognizing things to try to prevent violence from happening in the first place. And then next is having a plan and knowing what to do if it does happen, to keep ourselves and loved ones safe and protected until the professionals do get there.
Alan Burris again is with us, and it's spelled A-L-A-I-N and then B-U-R-R-E-S-E. He is actually director of active defense training for Reflex Protect. We'll talk about that. An author as well, Survive a Shooting, Strategies to Survive Active Shooters and Terrorist Attacks. It is such a difficult topic. And then with, you know, the information that we have learned, you know, in Montana about that tragic family affair as well. Where do you start? Where do you start with people? Now, I mean, there's probably two different things here, because you're talking about public, you know, personal safety, but we're also looking at another aspect of this, which I find unique and telling in a lot of ways, that more and more of these, you know, public conferences are addressing this issue.
Sure. Let's divide this a little bit. We have the public safety. We have things to do that an organization can do. But it's my understanding the this murder that just happened was more of a domestic.
Right.
And I want to give a resource for listeners. There's a classic book. Many of us in the field recommend it. It's called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. And that book really goes into some things, especially for women who might be in a potentially violent domestic situation, to pay attention to the warning signs and get out of those kind of relationships before something terrible happens. So that Gift of Fear, great book. You can find it in used bookstores, new bookstores, Amazon, and that would be a good resource for anybody that could possibly be in a relationship that they have thoughts about maybe it's not the best relationship, and that could help them pay attention closer and get out of a relationship before something terrible happens. Because sadly, more women are killed by significant others, whether it's boyfriends, husbands, whatever, than strangers jumping out of the bushes.
Boy, that is sad, and that's hard to swallow for us as a society as well. And I know that wasn't necessarily the whole heart of the topic here, but go into that a little bit, since it's on our minds and important to us in these domestic situations. What are some of those warning signs? And then, you know, to recognize those so that you can back out of that without tripping the potential, well, perpetrator, I guess, in a circumstance like this. What are they?
You know, some of them are the controlling nature or just the increasing anger and getting violent. I mean, person hits you once, gets angry and hits you. Okay, are they going to hit you again? Is it going to escalate because the hit didn't work, so now they use a weapon? And a lot of times you have that feeling. And Gavin does a great job in his book about trusting our intuition. And a lot of women will have intuition that something's wrong with this relationship, but they'll ignore it. Oh, it must be my fault. It's something I'm doing. I'm making him mad, or different things like that that just aren't true. And you got to get over that. And then it's difficult to leave sometimes. And so there are different resources. You know, that you have the YWCA and different resources in a lot of communities that will help people get out of those abusive and potentially violent relationships. And people need to use those resources because they're out there and they could prevent some terrible things from happening.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do this in the dark and don't do this alone. Alan Burris again with us, a director of active defense training, Reflex Protect, enjoylifesafely.com is his personal website. And there's things that you can download there as well. We'll talk about that. Let's get into now the heart of what you tell people. And let's go to that public arena here, assassination of Charlie Kirk, assassination attempts on President Trump. Those are most recent, but there are a number of them, and they have been mounting, and so obviously disturbing in a lot of ways. Where do you start?
One of the first things I talk with organizations, and that could be a school, it could be a church, it could be a municipality, is to create a risk assessment team. A small organization, that might be one or two people. A large organization, it may be multiple people from different backgrounds. You could have law enforcement involved. You could have mental health workers involved and so forth. But it's an identified team that can then look at the organization, look at maybe events coming up, and do some risk assessment of what's going on and what could be better to keep people safe. And that risk assessment team is also available for people to report suspicious type behaviors to that team, and then they do their due diligence and get law enforcement or mental health workers or whoever needs to get involved to maybe stop things from starting. Because many active shooter and violent situations, there are clues beforehand that go unnoticed or people just sort of ignore. And we have to do better at recognizing those clues and reporting them and trying to cut these incidents off before they start. So that is one of the first things that I try to stress that's so important, prevention. Then we get into things to do in case we don't prevent it, you know, ways to keep people safer and save lives if an event does happen. But first and foremost, We need to do a better job at prevention.
What better job do we need to do? I mean, what does that look like on the ground? Say a MACO convention, and you know what that is, but that's the Montana Association of Counties, County Commissioners, and then the one that where you and I met a little while ago here in Billings, the Montana League of Cities and Towns. Those are organized public events, right? And like you say, you don't want to scare people right away. Although the book, The Gift of Fear, there's some value in understanding the dangers of it, so to speak. So public events, county commissioner meetings, are they doing enough? What does that look like on the ground?
You know, it's extremely difficult to say, well, is there enough? Because, mm-hmm. one, we have to work within our budget. And two, we don't want to make an event like a prison yard. You know, so we surround the building with fence. We make everybody go through metal detectors and pat downs before they come in, like the TSA agents around just an event. So where do we find the happy medium? And it may be a little bit depending on the nature of the event. Is it going to be a more controversial event that could draw somebody? I mean, obviously, if you're going to have the President of the United States at an event, Secret Service are going to be there and doing more security than, you know, if I was showing up to speak, right? So you have to weigh those kind of things. But then every person out in the world, in my opinion, should increase their situational awareness and pay better attention so when something is recognized, action can be taken quicker. And that's why in every presentation I do, whether it's active shooter, safety, whatever, there's an element of increasing situational awareness. I'm actually working on a course that's going on to deeper, more advanced situational awareness practice because I think it's so important. And if any listener gets anything from today, increase your situational awareness, pull your head out of your apps, APPS, your phone, pay more attention, and you'll recognize potential bad things, and you'll recognize more good things, too.
Alan Burris is joining us as well, Director of Active Defense Training for Reflex Protect, EnjoyLifeSafely.com is the his website. There's a lot of information there. Survive a Shooting is one of his books, and Hard-Won Wisdom, Fighter's Mindset. Alan is a former U.S. Army paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne, and then also served as a scout sniper instructor as well. Business and law degrees from the University of Montana and a fifth degree black belt. So you know a little bit about self-defense, Alan, and I appreciate you coming on here today. Like I said, I just want to open it up for you to teach us. One, you talked about prevention, some of those prevention methods. And then another is how we respond during these kinds of things. And it's not only, you know, during, but when we talk about an event, you know, recently in Stillwater County, two people are dead, two others injured, and one arrested there, alleged perpetrator. You know, how we respond to that is also a part of our overall public and personal safety.
It is. So, I mean, to give a quick little rundown, we want to pay more attention. I talked a little bit about awareness. So we are paying attention, and we see something that's not normal. It's not normal baseline behavior for what we are doing. You know, if we're out shopping, you know, people are shopping. But why is that person matching our movements or approaching somebody in a weird way or wearing clothing that's not appropriate for the season? Just something that's not right. Then we have different things we can respond. We can just leave. We can escape the area, get out of the danger zone. And that's always preferred if we can. Another thing we can do is we can deny that person access. I mean, in the heat of an active shooter situation, when bullets are flying, if you can get behind cover, something that's bulletproof, or you can barricade yourself in a room in a place where they can't get access to you, that's a survival strategy. And our last survival strategy is to attack back and take a person out if we have no other choice. And that's why having a plan and knowing some self-defense type techniques is prudent in today's world. You don't have to be a black belt and study for your life like I have, but having a little bit of knowledge can go a long way. And, you know, when you're paying attention, we're paying attention to exits so we can leave. I always ask people, you know, where the exit is in a mall, you know, when I'm here talking to people in Missoula and they were familiar with the mall. And most of people always take, oh, the big main doors. Everyone forgets that most doors on the ground floor have an exit out the back that we never use. But in an emergency, we can. So knowing exits, looking for things that are not quite right with people, those are two big things. And then having a plan of how you would respond. Escape the area, deny access, defend yourself, and attack back if necessary. Those are sort of our survival strategies in a nutshell.
It may not be for everybody, but you know, protecting yourself with non-lethal methods or even lethal methods as well, that has been a growing part of this discussion as well. What are your recommendations on that?
When I was teaching active shooter originally, I was teaching how to use fire extinguishers as improvised weapons because schools and hospitals, places I was teaching, municipalities, courtrooms, they couldn't have firearms. Then Reflex Protect came along and I found this tool and said, wow, that's a missing piece. It's a non-lethal defensive spray that you can use indoors and not cross-contaminate like pepper spray does. They also had a decon that could reverse the effects. So that was a game changer with law enforcement and with schools, hospitals, churches, municipalities. And that's why I joined up with Reflex Protect and started teaching my active shooter programs, my de-escalation programs, and the Reflex Protect defensive spray training with Reflex Protect, because I thought it was just a great non-lethal defensive tool that could be used just about anywhere.
I have heard criticism about pepper spray not being effective at times, or even a taser weapon not being effective at times. Your assessment?
Everything has its drawbacks. I mean, there are people that pepper spray does not affect as well. Tasers can be good, but if the probe doesn't go in right, or if the probe is stripped out, then it doesn't work. You know, even Reflex Protect, I always, when I'm doing my training and why I say it's so important to practice a little bit, it comes out in a tight stream. If you don't hit the eyes, it's not going to be as effective. You know, if you just spray him in the chest and make his shirt wet, it's not going to stop the attacker. So anything that you use to defend yourself, you have to practice some and know the strengths and weaknesses of that tool.
And that's probably something people just overlook. You know, they feel that, okay, I've got this handy, I'll just keep it right here. I mean, hunters, they'll carry bear spray, but if it's in their backpack, it's not going to do them any good. Do you see that as being a large problem?
I do. I mean, I remember teaching a group of college women an awareness class and having a girl say, oh, I don't need to worry about that because I have this. And then she dug around in her purse and pulled out a little pepper spray. In the time she was digging around in her purse, I could have closed the distance and hurt her. You do have to have whatever you're carrying, whether that's a firearm, Reflex Protect, pepper spray, another tool, accessible so you can quickly get it, and you have to know how to use it. That's why with Reflex Protect, during the trainings I do with organizations, we take the inert practice ones, and I make them go outside and practice, and I make them do it quickly where they can get it and shoot their target fast so they have some practice doing that, because it's so important with whatever kind of tool or defensive thing that you're going to use.
It seems like there are, you know, larger measures, bigger steps, and then there are small measures, a number of those as well. So is there, you know, how do we create that plan that's going to fit for that individual?
It does come to the individual, and I say take small steps and learn a little bit. Like with my weekly newsletter, I give a tip. You can implement small little things, locking your doors. You know, when you're out shopping this Christmas season, make sure when you park your car and it's daylight, but it gets dark at 5 and you're coming out of the store at 6, it's going to be dark. Where did you park? Did you park under a light that's going to be on later? So you're not walking across the parking lot in the dark? Are you making multiple trips so you're not overburdened with all your packages, making it easy for somebody to come up and grab one and run away? Little steps and little things, habits, locking your doors, locking your windows. You know, more burglars go in through unlocked doors and windows than have to break in. It's little steps, little habits that can keep us safe so we can enjoy more of life. And you implement them as you can. Maybe this week you buy Reflex Protect. Maybe next week or next month you buy a tourniquet to put in your first aid kit, a good safety tool. Maybe the week after that or the month after that, you put a better lock on your door. You do it over steps where it works with your time and your budget to keep yourself safe.
Got a couple of minutes left here. Alan Burris again is with us. It's reflexprotect.com, but easy enough to go to enjoylifesafely.com and you know, get a part of the newsletter. Be a part of the newsletter if you want. And also, you've got a download there. Tell us what that is about.
It's a little guide that I wrote, how to stay safe in this crazy world. There's actually a couple different downloads, and you can for free. You can download one or all of them. You'll also get the newsletter, and then you can also get some of the courses. I got a couple low-cost courses. I have a self-defense course that's on sale right now at an early bird sale where you can actually learn physical skills to defend yourself. But you can get the free stuff there and, you know, just start increasing your safety.
What do you recommend for women? And I want to end. I only got a minute and a half here. I know how they think about that frequently, a lot more than men do in a lot of ways too. Do they come out? How do you get them feeling confident that they can go out and live their life safely?
The biggest thing is mindset. And when I teach a lot, mindset is most important. Knowing that you don't have to be a victim. That if you have the right mindset and something important to live for, whether that's your kids, whether that's your family, your faith, whether it's because you're not done yet, you are going to be a survivor. And having that survivor's mindset, that is the most important thing you can do. And recognize that you don't have to be a victim. There are things you can learn. There are things you can purchase to help you. But with that right mindset, you can go out and be confident and enjoy so much of life. And I think mindset is one of the most important things I teach with people.
I very much appreciate that as well. 30 seconds left. Put a bow on this for us, Alan.
Life is not as scary as the news makes it sound sometimes, but it is prudent to have some self-defense skills and be aware and know how to keep yourself safe so you can just go out and enjoy all of the wonderful things and enjoy life safely.
Yeah, faith and trust, too. Hey, Alan, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.